Good evening. So, you know, I forgot to say something at the beginning of Mass, so I'll say it now. Just to make sure that there's no trouble tonight, you should separate the Rams fans on this side, Patriots. If you need to make any changes, you know, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, tomorrow is the Super Bowl, and I'm sure it's common in families that you might have people in the same family rooting for different teams. And I'm sure it makes for lively discussion and yelling at the TV, et cetera. And I hope it's all in good fun. I hope it's all just in good nature, sportsmanship, and all of that. But that good-natured type of discussion didn't happen in today's gospel. In today's gospel, it's kind of puzzling why that's the case. Jesus announces extraordinarily good news. He's in the synagogue at Nazareth, his hometown. And the speech that he began last week is finished here tonight. And he says such beautiful things. He says, I have come to give good news to the poor, to give healing to those who are sick, and liberty to those who are captives. Who wouldn't want to hear that? Everybody in the family could agree with that. There's no different sides about that speech. You could think that everyone in Nazareth would love that, and they do. Except that Jesus goes on, and he says, this beautiful gift of liberty and love and forgiveness and compassion is not only for the people of Nazareth, but for the people of the neighboring villages too. In fact, it's not even just for the Jews, but it's for everyone on planet Earth. And that's what they didn't want to hear. They were glad to hear good news about themselves, but they didn't want those people from the next door village to get that news. It would be like saying, we are glad that God's love goes for everyone, rich or poor, different ethnic varieties, but not those Patriots. Actually, I don't have a problem with that line, but but you know, you can take out the word Patriot and put in some other group. You know, we believe God's love is for everyone, but not that group, not my enemies, not that person who cut me off on the freeway, not my boss, not my coworker. You know, we can kind of fill in the blank and put in some group there. And this gospel, Jesus is affirming that his love is for everyone. What happens in this gospel is he describes two non-Jewish people who receive miracles. And that's what the people didn't want to see. God's love truly is for everyone on the planet. It is also true that not everyone on the planet receives it well. Not everyone accepts it. Some people turn it down. Some people refuse it. Some people lead lives of tremendous sin. And sometimes those lives have to be brought to justice. But the offer of love is truly for all. And it really is, it was challenging for the people in this gospel to hear it. And sometimes it can be challenging for us just too. We don't want God to shower love on all people, especially that group that we don't like. And so 2,000 years later, this gospel still is pause for thinking about how we understand this idea of God's love for all. You know, if you have a chance, you might take a look at tonight's second reading. It's the famous passage from 1 Corinthians. It is announced in almost every single wedding, and it's appropriately so because it is so beautiful. It is an entire understanding of what love is. And, you know, I've heard it 1,000 times at weddings, so I'm pretty used to it. If you read it, you might say, oh, yes, I remember that. Except that when it was first written, it was a revolution. It was astounding. This was the very, very first time in the history of the world that people understood God as a God of love, not a God of power or vengeance, but a God of love. It was such a revolutionary phrase. So I invite you, if you get a chance, maybe at the end of Mass, to pick up and just read that second reading again. It's worth understanding what love is. And actually, believe it or not, that's the reason why I started the university series. You know, you got the catalogs last week, and if you didn't get them last week, they're at the doors of the church. And we have over 70 classes, 70 sessions during the season of Lent. And even though they might have different titles, underneath them all, there really is the same idea. Maybe we can finally understand what it means to say that God loves me And how can I love others in the way that he loves me? Because that's the way to true and lasting happiness. And it doesn't happen automatically. It does take some study. So I hope that you'll take advantage of the university series. This is the first year that we'll be able to pre-register for sessions. You can even buy a pass that will get you to every session, no matter what it is. And we have St. Mary, Beatitudes, and St. Bruno, and now St. Dominic Savio, and St. John Bosco High School, a way to dedicate the season of Lent to growing in love. And we'll get a chance to express that practically next week. Next week is our annual Together in Mission campaign. Maybe you've gotten envelopes in the mail already, if you have. This is when the parish boundaries of St. Bruno magically extend to all of Los Angeles, in which our heart now says, how can we help the poorest of the poor parishes around the archdiocese? It's kind of a practical way that we express this idea of love. So, you know, tomorrow afternoon, at the end of the game, when the Rams have won, you know, no matter what happens, the game will be over. No matter what happens, it's only going to last for an afternoon. Our life continues. And we can have fun diversions by Super Bowl games, but our life continues. And really what makes our life worthwhile, what makes our life fulfilling, is how well we experience love, how well we receive it, how well we give it. And I hope that we will learn, certainly during the season of Lent, maybe even at this Mass, but dedicate each and every day to grow in that gift that God wants, not only for the people of Nazareth, but the people of St. Bruno as well.